Amen. Say to your neighbor, stop the thief. Come with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Let's read this together. One, two, go. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. This is a verse of scripture that I believe most of us are familiar with. But let me ask this morning, who exactly is the thief Jesus refers to here? I expected that answer. I knew that if I threw this question open, without a doubt, many will answer that the thief is the devil. And you know, one of the reasons why we instinctively answer that way is because there is this misconception that the devil is the opposite of God. And so in John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come. It says, I have come. So if Jesus has come, oh, then this thief must be the devil, because we think the devil is the opposite of God. But brethren, the devil is not God's opposite. That's beneath God to describe the devil as his opposite. You know, when you use the word opposite, there's a connotation of equality. There's a connotation of comparison between two things that are at par. The devil and God are not at par in any way. The devil is a created being. God is a self-existent, uncreated creator. He created the devil. The devil cannot be his opposite. The devil is simply a fallen angel of God, one of God's numerous angels who thought it in his heart to be like God, and God kicked out of heaven. He cannot be God's opposite. Oh yes, the devil stands in opposition to everything that pertains to God and godliness, but that doesn't elevate him to this level, to the status of God's opposite. Okay, so who exactly is the thief that Jesus refers to here? Let's examine the scriptures this morning. This really is, you know, digging deep stuff. But because most of you don't come for digging deep, on digging deep days we'll be happy if we found this crowd that is just here. Everybody else, gone. And yet, say, Sunday, can't cut it. Sunday, can't cut it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The opposition that you're up against in life, they don't do Sunday. They don't, or whatever day they gather in the week. They don't do from that day to the next, whatever. They don't stay apart from their gods for a week. No, they don't. They don't even do once a day. Amen. As we examine the scriptures to understand this, the answer to this question, who exactly is the thief? I want us to note that the original Hebrew and Greek manuscripts of the Bible did not have chapters and verses. You know that, right? So, if you really want to understand what Jesus was saying here, you'll have to read from John chapter 8 all the way to John chapter 10 and read that continuously. Okay? Jesus, from John chapter 8, you see, Jesus was having an encounter with the Pharisees and religious leaders of the time. And in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said to them, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." Okay? He says, the desires of your father you want to do. Their father the devil. And yes, the desires of their father the devil is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All right. But he goes on, he says to them, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. So those of you who lie and attach all manner of colors to the lie, Jesus makes clear here, all lies proceed from the devil. If you're a liar, the devil is your father. I didn't say so. So Jesus said so. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And note here, it says, when he speaks a lie, it didn't say when he speaks a black lie or green lie or white lie. No color of the lie. A lie is a lie. 99% truth is a lie. Jesus laid other charges against these religious leaders. If you read that, you know, John chapter 8, Jesus laid other charges against them. And they got really angry with him. And by the time you get to John 8:59, we'll read it now through to John 9:1. Because remember, I said there were no chapters and verses in the original manuscript. Oh, and the idea of chapters and verses is great, because that's what helps you and I, even in our study and referencing of scriptures now. I imagine what it would have been like without, you know, those chapters and verses. So the concept is great. But you need to remember the back of your mind that this is not how it was always. In John chapter 8:59, reading all the way to John 9, verse 1. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Remember, I said Jesus laid other charges to them. I mean, you know, John 8:44 was hard enough. Said to them, you know, your father is the devil. Can you imagine, you know, if anybody told you that your father was the devil? I'm sure you would get really angry, especially if you thought yourself to be a religious leader. But Jesus said, then in verse 59, he said, then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Verse 1 now of John chapter 9 says, now as Jesus passed by. So it was a continuing account. John 8:59 says they tried to stone him, but he got up and walked out and passed by. And John 9:1 says, as he passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus goes on to heal the blind man. It was the Sabbath, but Jesus nonetheless went on to heal the blind man. And that further incensed the religious leaders. Never mind that if you search the scriptures, you search the Levitical laws, there was nothing that said you couldn't heal somebody who was sick on the Sabbath. And that's why Jesus confronted, because it was a work of mercy. Because the Lord didn't forbid people from showing mercy on the Sabbath. But see how they've twisted the word of God here. And considered healing on the Sabbath. You know, that's why Jesus asked them, who of you, if your livestock fell into the pit on the Sabbath, will leave it there? But Jesus goes on to heal this man. And these false teachers of the world, of the word, who twist the word of God in the name of, you know, religious leaders, got angry with him. And if you read on in John chapter 9, from 39 to 41, John 9, 39 to 41, Jesus said, for judgment. Because what they did, they got so angry. This man, the blind man that Jesus had healed, when the man insisted that it was Jesus that healed him, they threw him out. They threw him out of their synagogue. They cast him out, and the man was... And then Jesus caught up with this man. And Jesus began to witness to this man. And they gathered again. All of them gathered there. They listened to Jesus' engagement with the man. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind, may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you will not have sin. You will have no sin. He said, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. And Jesus continued to lay it on these spiritual leaders. If you just read that, John chapter 9, when you go home, take some time and just read, indeed, study John 8 all through to, you know, verse 10. By the time Jesus gets to John chapter 10, in 1 and 2, John 10, you know, 1 and 2, Jesus says to them, most assuredly, or verily, verily, or truly, truly, depending on the version of the Bible you're using, he says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus here answers the question, who is a thief? In verse 2, he says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Again, if you go down in that John chapter 10 to verse 7 to 9, John 10, 7 to 9, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What Jesus therefore was saying here is that the thief is the one who is trying to get you into the sheepfold by any other way than the door. By any other, and the door there is Jesus. Says anyone who is trying to get you into the sheepfold is the household of God, is the kingdom of God. It's ultimately heaven. It says anyone who is trying to get you into it by any other way than me, than Jesus, than the door, is a thief. In that verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. So he says, anyone who's trying to get you anywhere, anyone who teaches anything else, that there's any way other than Jesus to get into a sheepfold, into the kingdom of God, is a thief. Religious leaders who in the New Testament are referred to usually as, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers are also usually referred to as shepherds. So false apostles, false prophets, false evangelists, false pastors, and false teachers are therefore thieves. Jesus says they are thieves. that they're doing the bidding of their father, the devil. And the bidding of their father, the devil, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So they themselves are just as dangerous as the devil. When you read John 10:10 as the thief there referring to the devil, you do not quite get an appreciation of this fact. That false teachers are as dangerous as the devil himself. Which is the message that Jesus was passing to the people here. And what Jesus was saying was not new. It was something that the prophets before him had spoken of. Indeed, when you know, there's a Bible that is called the cross-reference Bible. When you study the cross-reference Bible, if you go to John chapter 10 and verse 10, that verse, John 10 and verse 10, you will find it cross-referenced to two passages of scriptures. One is Jeremiah chapter 23, and the other is Ezekiel chapter 34. We do not have the time to look at those two because they are long chapters of the Bible. But I enjoin you when you go home to read them, to study them. But I'm going to read some verses from them. Let's start with Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. The prophet said, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. May we all be reckoned among this remnant, in the name of Jesus, that we shall indeed be fruitful and increase in the name of Jesus." Verse 4, it says, "I will set up shepherds over them, who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord." Skip to verse 9. "Say, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil and their might is not right." Doesn't that remind you of the society that we live in today? In verse 11, it says, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord." Remember what Jesus said in that encounter with the blind man and the Pharisees. He says, "For judgment I have come." There's a judgment on false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, false evangelists, false apostles, whatever name that they're called. And it will be a very harsh one. If you read all of this, Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34, you'll have pity for them. Verse 13, it says, "And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. I'm not one of those who, and you know, I rarely speak about, God or criticize or whatever. But brethren, I am so pained by the level of adultery that you hear about among men of God. And there's a story of a pastor and I won't tell you which church. But two teenage daughters of a member of the congregation, two sisters, as I was sleeping with them. And you wonder why it seems like there's no power in our faith, like there's no more, I mean, that like the word of God isn't as powerful as it is. He said they also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and they are, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Verse 15, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Verse 21 says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Because of time, I can't take any more in Jeremiah 23. Let me skip to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. In verse 1, it says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Verse 7 says, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, to be stolen from, to be killed, to be destroyed. He says, and my flock became flawed for every feast of the field because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. He says, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep. And the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. May the Lord deliver each and every one of us from the mouths of false shepherds in the name of Jesus. Who are these false teachers? Essentially, anyone who teaches anything but the true gospel, which is fundamentally salvation is through Christ only. False teachers carry out Satan's agenda. You know the story, how Jesus descended on the temple and pulled out a whip flogged. And what was the charge that he laid against the religious leaders? He says, this is the house. My house. He says, you have turned my house to a den of thieves. To a den of thieves. That same word. False teachers carry out Satan's agenda. And Christ himself lays out for us the agenda of the devil and his cohorts. Everything they do can be characterized as stealing or killing or destruction. And these are the things nobody really wants to be a victim of. I mean, none of us wants that which belongs to us to be stolen. Nor do you want to be killed, you and yours to be killed. Nor do you want you or yours to be destroyed. So the question is, why do people still court false teachers and by extension their father, the devil? Number one reason is ignorance. Ignorance. No wonder the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, the first part of it, Hosea 4:6a, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in 2 Corinthians 3:11, the Bible says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I never forget, many years ago, back in Freedom Hall, Pastor Tony said to us once, said, you know, that the devil is wiser than many of you think. He said, the devil is never going to try to stop some of you from going to church again. He knows that that is a battle that is lost. He can't. He says his new agenda. And I'm talking about, you know, he shared this with us about 30 years ago. And he says Satan's new agenda now is to actually get into the business of setting up churches by himself. Where he just ensures that the word of God is watered down and sin is tolerated. And people are entertained and make you feel good. And so they keep flocking in. But they're going nowhere. Really. And they just remain cannon fodder in his hands. Any day he wants to mess them up, to do whatever, to use any of them, he can, because they haven't been properly grounded in the word. Second reason why people continue to fall victim to the thief. Carelessness. It is one thing to have the knowledge and another thing to act on the knowledge you have. May you not, out of carelessness, fall victim to the thieves. Number three reason is the modus operandi of the thief. The modus operandi of the thief, how the thief operates. You know, I checked John chapter 10 in over 20, probably 30, you know, different Bible versions. And surprisingly, it was surprising to me. I was looking to see whether that word thief, whether there would be another word used for that word thief. And in all these versions of the Bible, in John chapter 10, it was the thief. No other word for substitute for the thief. As I checked my dictionary, what's thief? What's the dictionary definition of a thief? A thief is a person who steals, especially secretly, without open force. So a thief is actually not a synonym for a robber or a burglar. So what does that mean? What does that have to do with us? It means that the thief Jesus warns us about in John 10 verse 10 creeps in on you secretly and probably in a physically non-violent manner. Subtlety is the modus operandi of Satan and his agents. That's why you see false teachers will normally lace their whatever with all kinds of this thing, make it sound high sounding, Greek, Hebrew, this, whatever, eschatology, revelation, theatrics, dance, jump, do whatever, and all of that. You know, to be believable. In 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This gospel is a simple gospel that has been committed to us because it is designed to be all-inclusive. And so God has made it complicated, complex. That's why in Psalm 119, verse 1, I believe, it says that, you know, the entrance of the word, God brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 11. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. May you not put up with a different gospel. May you not put up with a different spirit. Indeed, may you never accept such. In the name of Jesus. In the second service, we're going to look well more on what must you do to defend yourself against the thief. What must you do to stop the thief? Remember, our topic for today is stop the thief. But you know, very quickly, number one thing you've got to do, you've got to take the warning in John 10:10 seriously. Number two, you've got to arm yourself with the truth. Number three, do not develop itching ears. I'll see you in the second service. But as we close this service now, perhaps you're here this morning listening to me. You don't want to fall victim to the thief, the one whose agenda is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It doesn't it sound obvious? You say, the thief comes not but to steal. What else does the thieves do? If you can define a thief as someone who steals, have you? But it's not only thieves who steal. Note that. Robbers steal. All kinds of people steal. Pen robbers steal. Everybody, you know, all kinds of people steal. But the only antidote to the thief is Jesus, who has come to give you life and to give you more abundantly. The thief comes to take from you. Jesus comes to give you. And that is an extension of what the Almighty God Himself has done in giving you and in giving the world Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and His very best. That's why John 3 verse 16 says, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Unless you enter the sheepfold through the door that is Jesus, the thief will get you. The thief will steal from you. The thief will kill you. The thief will destroy you. And so this morning, if you're not sure that Jesus is Lord,
over your life, if you haven't surrendered your life, if you haven't submitted your life to Jesus, you cannot enter by the door that is Jesus unless you submit yourself to Him, to that door. Maybe the thief has been stealing from you, has been killing all that pertains to you, killing your vision, killing your joy, killing all that, everything that is ever good and godly in your life. Maybe all that has been visiting in your life today is destruction, destroying everything that is ungodly in your life. Today, you have come. You've come before the Almighty God. You've come before the one who has the solution, the one who is the door. Will you choose this day to walk through the door if you haven't done so before? Or if you've done so previously, you walked through the door, but you know that you exited again, and so became a victim again to the thieves. Today, you can come back through the door. The door is wide open. It's thrown wide open. Jesus said, "None who come to me will I in any wise cast away." He said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden." He says, "I'll give you rest." He's calling someone into his rest this day. Will you answer? Lay your right hand on your heart. Pray with me if you'll answer Jesus this day. And say, "Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for laying down your life to make a way for me, to be the door for me to walk through into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of life. Today, I choose to walk through that door. Today, I choose to surrender my life to you. Today, I choose to forsake a life of sin. Here I am, Lord. Take me, make me, mold me, and use me for your glory. I confess with my mouth that I am born again. In Jesus' name. Amen." If you pray that prayer and you're here in the sanctuary this morning, just wave to me. If you pray that prayer and you're following us online, wherever you are, just rise. God sees you where you are. Just rise there and do one more thing, please. You know, try and reach us through any of our, you know, media handles. Send us your name, your email address, your phone number, so that we can get back to you and help you in this new journey that you have begun. But you're here in the sanctuary this morning. You prayed that prayer with me. Wave your hand to me. God bless you, my brother. Come, pray that prayer. Keep waving your hand. Draw the attention of an usher. If nobody notices you, just wave your hand. Wave your hand and let an usher come to you. God bless you. And this day you will walk through the door. You will no longer be a victim to the thief. You will no longer be a victim of the thief who's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This day, you will be admitted into the sheepfold. You'll be numbered among the shepherds. And Jesus is a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. He's your shepherd. He wants you to be among the sheep of his pasture. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this one. Is there anyone else we're waiting for? It's your life. Don't worry about it. You hear a voice that says, lift up your hand. If you hear a voice that says, go forward, just obey. Don't worry about what the people next to you think. They don't matter. It's your life. Amen? One more time. Is there anyone else that we're expecting? Is there anyone else we're waiting for? Just come. Just come. It's nothing to be ashamed of. The rest of us, you see sitting down, probably did this some time ago. God bless you. Those of you who have come front. I welcome you to the household. Lord, bless you. Please stand and follow the pastor. God bless you. The rest of us, let's just stand, lift up our voices and say, Father, by your grace, by your mercy, deliver me from the thief. Go ahead.